Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Make this new school year an opportunity for your kids to learn important life skills with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely while parents keep an eye on kids' money habits. Greenlight also helps families get into their fall routine with a chores feature that lets parents assign chores and pay kids' allowance when they check them off. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod. Greenlight.com/pod.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Overreaction Sports Podcast with your host, Joe Miller. I am Joe Miller, and I just want to say thank you to everybody joining me. If you are looking to find me on Twitter, you can find me. My handle is at Joe Miller Wired. That is, again, at Joe Miller Wired. And I just want to say welcome. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. I know you've got plenty of options, plenty of other places you can go to get your bills fixed. So I just appreciate the fact that that you take the time or have taken the time to download this podcast or are currently streaming it, whether it's on Spotify or some other place. But thank you. But so I want to jump right in. Week 6 is just about over. We got one game left. That is tonight. It is the Lions against the Packers. And I'll be honest with you, I am what I would call a closet Packers fan. I love Aaron Rodgers. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch play football in the NFL. So we're going to wrap up week 6 this week with a Lions and Packers game tonight. But before we jump into what I'm overreacting about, I just want to jump into some quick hits for you. The first one is this. It was running around Twitter last night during the Jets game, the Jets-Cowboys game, and a bunch of Bills fans were running for their fear bunkers over Sam Darnold. Let me just start by saying this. I am not afraid of Sam Darnold. I'm not. I am not afraid of Sam Darnold. I have no fear of the Jets. There is literally nothing about the Jets right now that scares me. And the reason that there's nothing about the Jets right now that scare me is, number one, Adam Gase is still their head coach. So for me, as long as that dude is pulling the strings for that team, I'm not scared. Also, the reason that I'm not scared is because I believe, by and large, our destiny will already be before us as it pertains to the next time we play the Jets and Sam Darnold late in the season. I think that we will know pretty much where we're going. I think we will already either be playoff bound or out of the playoffs. I don't think there's any possible way that we could potentially be out of the playoffs at that point. But and that's just based on our schedule alone. But I think that when we play Sam Darnold and the Jets coming up here towards the end of the season, I think that, like I said, our destiny will be pretty much already written in stone. So that game, by and large, won't mean anything to us. So I'm not afraid at this point of Sam Darnold. Am I afraid of Sam Darnold in the future? Sure. I think he is going to be a very good quarterback. Watching some of his throws last night, some of his passes, he throws a crisp ball. He's incredibly accurate, and he's got great vision. The dude can see the field. So Sam Darnold is somebody that's going to have to be reckoned with in the future. But for me, for right now, from an overreaction standpoint, not overreacting on Sam Darnold. When they find their way into Ralph Wilson Stadium to New Era Field at the end of the season, it ain't going to matter. So also, something else I want to hit real quick. I feel like there is this really cool lull in the national media kind of sports thing right now. I tweeted about this on October 8th. I think that there is a large segment of the national sports media that don't know what to do with the Buffalo Bills and specifically Josh Allen. I think there's some people gravitating towards the Buffalo Bills. You know, when you look at Brian Baldinger, who has been a traditional Bills hater, it's really cool. If you're not following Brian Baldinger, you should, because he is breaking down the Bills stuff and he's on the bandwagon along with several other people that we all know. But there's a huge contingent of the NFL sports media, that there's just this eerie kind of weird, I'm using the word lull, quietness towards the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. And the reason is, I think, because they don't want to get their caught with their pants down. I think that they've already made their statements of what they think about Josh Allen. They've already called him trash. They've called him garbage. There's even some that are still kind of tweeting a little bit about, you know, who's the most disappointing quarterback and blah, 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 stuff like that. But I think for the most part, the ones that are smart aren't sure what to tweet, what to post, so they're not. I think that there's a great deal when they look at the schedule that the Bills have coming up, that there's a fear there that regardless of how Josh Allen plays, that due to the schedule that we have, that let's just be honest, isn't exactly imposing. It puts us in a situation where this team very well could find itself at 8-1, 7-2 in the very near future. So I think it's just a really cool thing, something to pay attention to, kind of something to be watching. And I know that all of you do on Twitter. I know that you guys kind of keep track of who's saying what about who and, you know, what people are saying about what team and stuff like that. So I just think there's this really kind of chill moment right now, which is just something I'm kind of basking in. The last thing that I wanted to just talk about is kind of a really quick hit at the very top of the show here, is something that was tweeted out on October 8th by the Bills guys. And you can find them at the Bills guys on Twitter. And they said that through five games, I don't know how many of you saw this, but they said that through five games, Corey Bajorquez is dead last in net punting average for the NFL. Dead last. That number, if you're interested, is 34.2 yards. And, oh, by the way, he also has more touchbacks than any other punter in the NFL currently. And for me, if there's an overreaction, and I don't think it's an overreaction, I think if anything, it's an underreaction, because this kid shouldn't be on our football team right now. I just can't figure out what the heck is going on down there. I don't understand why he was ever brought in. I don't know how, if you look at Colton Schmitz's stats, I don't believe, somebody can check me and prove that I'm wrong, but I don't believe his stats were worse than Corey Bajorquez's. I don't understand why the impulse decision was made before the first game last season to cut Colton Schmidt and then bring in Corey. And I know that Colton Schmidt came back and then he got cut again. Corey Bajorquez got hurt, but I don't think there was any point in any time last season, and I know there hasn't been in this season, where the kid has been good. He had a couple good punts a couple games ago, but for the most part, I just don't see it. I don't get it. He doesn't pass the eye test. And oh, by the way, to top off the numbers, or I should say the information that the Bills guys gave us about him being dead last in the NFL in net punting average, he also has a blocked punt return for a touchdown, which, oh, by the way, if we want to keep piling on top of that, cost us the Patriots game. If you remove that touchdown, that punt block return for a touchdown from the board, that game potentially ends 10-9 in the Bills' favor. Now, obviously, there's tons of what-ifs. What happens if Josh Allen doesn't go out of the game with a concussion? You know, what if? But the reality is if you take off that punt return for a touchdown, take it off the scoreboard, the Buffalo Bills, our Buffalo Bills, potentially win that football game. So, yeah, that's what I've, just from a quick hit, just kind of jonesing on at the moment, things that I'm just kind of reeling about a little bit. But I do want to get into overreactions for me for week six. And I want to start here. I want to start with the NFL for me, from what I see the landscape, by and large, this league, and particularly the AFC, is wide open. What did I learn from week six? I learned that the AFC, and potentially all of the NFL, is wide open. Now, look, I know that any given Sunday, any team can beat any team. I know that this is why we suit up and this is why we play. And I understand matchups, and I understand that certain teams give other teams fits. And there's just vulnerabilities as it pertains to 3-4 against this offense, 4-3 against this offense, and this offense against a 3-4, and this offense against a 4-3. And depending on who's playing what the schemes are, positions, players. And the reality is that some teams are just come out flat. You look at the Chargers. It was clear the Chargers did not want to play in that football game last night. But I believe, if I'm overreacting to anything right now, I'm really excited about this Buffalo Bills team being 4-1, our defense being what I would consider elite. Am I saying top one, like number one defense? I don't know. Are they top three? You better believe it. So if I'm overreacting to something, I'm overreacting to this league being wide open, and the AFC being, in my opinion, particularly vulnerable right now. So, you know, when we're looking at what's going on, you know, the Ravens this past weekend in week six, you know, they beat the Bengals. And that game wasn't exactly, I mean, it's, and I'll get into a little bit of Lamar Jackson here in a minute. It wasn't exactly a blowout. 23-17 doesn't scream to me like that somehow the Ravens owned the Bengals. And let's also be honest, you know, Lamar Jackson was the joystick player of the game. That game was all Lamar on the ground and through the air. The Seahawks beat the Browns. It was late in the game, but the Seahawks beat the Browns. So right there, you know, one of those contenders that's on our schedule, somebody that we were expected to play, potentially lose to. I know I had, I'll put my hand up, I had us potentially losing to the Browns at home. So, I mean, they're not playing us here, so there's a little bit of an advantage if we're playing at New Era Field, but going to Cleveland, and we've had some trouble in that stadium. And then you look at the Texans beating the Chiefs. And I'm gonna, if there's a team for me that scares me the most in the AFC right now, it's literally the Texans. If you watch the playbacks, the highlights of that game from yesterday, they are playing good, balanced football, like pass and run. Like it's pretty incredible what they're doing. And I know that they've lost a couple games. They lost the first game of the season in heartbreak fashion to the Saints, but they've bounced back since then. And I know that Bill O'Brien and that staff has widely been a joke. I mean, we're talking about a team that just this walked away from Jadeveon Clowney and kind of let him go for what a lot of us don't feel was enough. But that team scares me. If there's a team from this past weekend that scares me, it's definitely that team, the Texans team. They made mistakes yesterday. Like they had, I believe they had two interceptions and there was a fumble. Like they didn't exactly soundly beat the Chiefs, but they went into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs at home. Went into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs at home. That's incredible. But the Colts did it last week too. So if you're breaking this down, so the Ravens, you know, let's be honest with you. The Ravens, they have one player on their team. When I encapsulate the Ravens in my mind and who the Ravens are, it's Ohio State Buckeye football, or you know, go back to you know when they had Terrell Pryor, or you go back to the Florida Gators when they had Tim Tebow. It's basically look, we have the best player on the field, we have the number one athlete on the field, and we're going to beat him or beat you, I should say, with that one single player. So I remember I was living in Columbus at the time. And it was very challenging for me to watch Buckeye football because when Terrell Pryor was the quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes, they were undefeated forever. I don't know. They beat everybody. But it was basically Terrell Pryor to the right, Terrell Pryor to the left, and Terrell Pryor up the middle. And then he would throw a pass. Terrell Pryor to the right, Terrell Pryor to the left, and Terrell Pryor up the middle. And then he would throw a pass. And he was unstoppable. And that's and I'm not saying that that's exactly what the Ravens are right now, but that's what they feel like to me. Like you remove Lamar Jackson from that football team, and like the whole bottom's going to fall out. So I'm not so sure that at this point in time, the Ravens scare me. But, you know, if our defense can, because we're going to play them, but if our defense can shut them down, if our defense can hold Lamar Jackson to play inside of himself and force him to be somewhat one-dimensional, I can tell you this, he's scary accurate with the football. As much as he was panned like Josh Allen about his accuracy, the reality is he finds the open guy. When he's on offense and they're needing to complete a pass, he's finding the guy downfield. So his head is up. He's clearly not looking to run. He's finding the open player downfield. And it's scary what he can do. But he is a dangerous runner as well. He's obviously finding himself successful as a passer. But that team, they're not one-dimensional in the sense of it being one-dimensional pass, one-dimensional run. They're one-dimensional in the sense that they have one dimension, and his name is Lamar Jackson. Everybody knows which player he is in the field. So let's go in and be focused on shutting that kid down. So I also think that by the time we play them, there will be a little bit of a book, I hope, out on Lamar Jackson that you know somebody else will have shown some glimpses of how to potentially stop him, but we'll see. The other one is the Texans. I already talked about the Texans a little bit. The balance is the word that comes to me about the Texans. Deshaun Watson is playing incredible football. Obviously they've got Nuke, and then it's interesting to me that the two running backs they have, Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson, are playing as well as they are. Those guys played fantastic football yesterday. They made some mistakes yesterday in that football game, and they still beat the Chiefs at home, which is, to me, incredible. And I know that that Patrick Mahomes is a little banged up. He's got an ankle issue, but I don't think he's banged up enough to make it a situation where, you know, what we saw happen to them against them happened to them. So the Chiefs I have down here is number three as far as potential, you know, people that are going to be vying with the Buffalo Bills for a playoff spot. I think the Chiefs are who we think they are. I'm not surprised at what we see. I'm not necessarily in a situation where I'm ready to cast them off either. I think something can seriously be said for losing your last two home games, one of them against the Colts and the other one against the Texans. And I'm not really prepared to talk about the Colts. The Colts aren't a team that in any way, shape, or form scare me. I mean, it's still Jacoby Brissett. I think Marlon Mack is their running back, right? And obviously T.Y. Hilton. But there's nothing about that team that jumps out at me and says, hey, you know, we are somebody, a team, a force to be reckoned with. I think they're playing good, sound football right now, and I think they've got a great coach. And let's be honest, we all love Frank Reich. And if there's a man that a team can rally behind, it's definitely Frank Reich. But when you look at the Chiefs, something's going on there, and I don't know what it is. And clearly they are, you know, as Patrick Mahomes goes, they go as well. But they've been beaten. They are vulnerable. They've been beaten twice at home by two good defenses, two good teams, right? And two teams that can play offense. And then the last one, and I saved this one, for last, to last on purpose, is the Patriots. There's nothing about the Patriots that scare me right now. Nothing. I don't want to say nothing. The Patriots' defense scares me. So if there is another one of those teams that's somewhere between 1, 2, and 3 defensively in the NFL right now, it's obviously the Patriots. But that offense is horrible. Horrendous. Like, that offense is in trouble. Seriously, like, we saw 2 weeks in a row Tom Brady just basically throwing the ball at the ground and trying to get away from guys because he didn't want to get hit. He didn't want to get tackled. He didn't want to get touched. I think Tom Brady is feeling his age. I think his arm is feeling his age. And I think not only is Tom Brady in trouble, I think that team is in trouble. That offense is in trouble. And I think that there's, if somebody can come in, whether it's the Chiefs, whether it's the Texans, I'm going to say whether it's the Buffalo Bills or even the Colts, if they can put some points on the board, if they can get to 14, 17 points, that offense can be kept in check. I don't see, if there's something I'm overreacting to, if there's something I'm overconfident about right now, I don't see the New England Patriots going to their fourth straight Super Bowl. So that's what I got on that. So I don't know where you guys are on that, but that's what I have, which is kind of a cool segue into ranking what I, you know, the 2008 quarterbacks as far as for what we've seen through 6 weeks. And let's as we get into this, clearly the thing that's going to jump out at most people first are going to be the mistakes that Josh Allen's making. And the reason that we're going to talk about that is because, number one, he's our quarterback. And there's also the we can pile on the fact that Baker is making a lot of mistakes as well. But if we're going to address the mistakes, we're going to address all of them, and we're going to address all we're going to address the fact that all of them are making mistakes. But how do you currently have them ranked? I wish that there was a way I could take phone calls. I wish that I could do this live. I wish there was a way for me to get interaction so that I could kind of respond and react to how other people are feeling as it pertains to ranking these quarterbacks. But what I want to do is I want to give you current stats, right? So I'm going to give you the current stats up to today. So first, Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is, his completion percentage currently right now is at 56%. And by the way, he got hurt, tweaked his hip. I haven't heard or seen a report. I haven't really looked, to be honest with you, if it's anything significant. But right now he's throwing 56% completions. He has 1,496 yards. He has 5 touchdowns to 11 interceptions. His QB rating is currently 66, his passer rating, and he's 2-4. That's nothing to me. That, frankly, I don't know. That isn't what I was expecting from Baker Mayfield coming into the season with the weapons that he had around him, Nick Chubb, and how Nick Chubb has developed. But OBJ and just everything that he's got there seemed to me like his stats would be much better. Lamar Jackson's stats, 65% completions currently. He's got 1,547 throwing yards. I did not look up his running yards. He has 11 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. He has a 96.7 QB rating, and he is currently 4-2, 4 wins, 2 losses. Josh Rosen. My stats for Josh Rosen, literally on my note sheet, are he was inserted as the starter, and then he was benched. I don't know that you need to know much more about Josh Rosen than that. And oh, by the way, they've already declared, as far as the last I heard, is that he has already been declared the starter for the football game against the Buffalo Bills. Thank you. Please. Yes, sir. Give me another. So we'll take that for sure. Sam Darnold has 2 games in, so he probably doesn't have as much to look at. But I included him because his name is important. He's a key figure in all of this. Sam Darnold is at 69%. He's thrown 513 yards, which if you projected that out would be well above everybody else. He has 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's got a 97 QB rating, and he's currently 1-1 in one of his first win coming against the Cowboys yesterday and his 1 loss coming against our Buffalo Bills. And then finally, I would say it's probably all of our favorites at this point, Josh Allen. Where's Josh Allen at? Josh Allen is at 62% completions. He's got 1,122 yards. He has 5 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. I did not include, obviously, any rushing touchdowns in any of the stats. He has a 75 quarterback rating, and he's currently 4-1. And now, if you are ranking these quarterbacks, clearly stats are important. Clearly the way that they play the game is important. Clearly, the handle that they have on the moments and the situations are important. There's a lot of things that have to go into what we're talking about. There's also some of them that have a little bit of a cheat code. Josh Allen has a bit of a cheat code because he has the best defense by far and away. Well, maybe not by far and away, but by far, he's got the best defense of all these quarterbacks. Second would be the Jets, Sam Darnold with the Jets, which poses a concern for us next year. As much as I'm not worried about Sam Darnold and the Jets this year, next year, it's going to be a topic of conversation. There's a great potential that they could be right there with us depending on how the offseason goes. But I think as I look at this and I look into these quarterbacks, and let's just throw Josh Rosen out right now. And I'll be honest, and I will admit that I'm one of the guys that wanted the Bills to take Rosen. I thought Rosen was NFL ready. I was wrong. Rosen passed the eye test for me in college. I wasn't ready to jump on board with a gigantic project quarterback, and I was wrong. So we're just going to toss out Josh Rosen, because if Josh Rosen is still a Miami Dolphin next year after they draft their quarterback in the future, it'll be a surprise. But there's just nothing really worth talking about there. There's just nothing to see. So when we're talking about Baker, we're talking about Lamar, we're talking about Sam Darnold and Josh Allen, to me the biggest difference between these 4 quarterbacks is confidence. I'm going to say it again. The biggest difference between these 4 quarterbacks for me is confidence. When I watch Baker Mayfield, regardless of what's happening in the football game and where he's at, yes, he's making a lot of mistakes, just like Josh Allen, but he's playing with confidence. When I watch Lamar Jackson is playing with confidence. Sam Darnold is also playing with confidence. And I don't know, as much as we talk about Josh Allen, we talk about some of the mistakes that he's made. And last week, if you have not listened to my podcast last week, I would recommend that you take a little bit of time and invest some time into that, because I talked about some things that I'm not worried about anymore. And one of those things that I'm not worried about with Josh Allen are the interceptions that he's been throwing. Because for me, that defense puts us in a situation, a unique situation for him to lean on that defense and go out there, build his confidence, get control, get his feet underneath him. Because I still believe, just as we all knew coming out last year that he was a project, I still believe Josh Allen has some of that project in him. He is not NFL ready the way that Sam Darnold is. He is not NFL ready the way that Baker Mayfield is. And they are not gaming for him, game planning or scheming for him the way the Ravens are with Lamar Jackson. The Ravens are purposefully scheming Lamar Jackson to dual threat their opponents, to keep their opponents off balance, whereas the Bills have the potential to do that with Josh Allen, but they're not. Josh Allen's running style this year versus last year is completely different. If you haven't noticed, he has not been as effective as a runner this year because he is staying committed to being in the pocket as a quarterback, which is putting him at a little bit of a deficit. There is a learning curve for Josh Allen. So for me, if you're ranking these four quarterbacks, again, five throwing out Josh Rosen, but if you're ranking these four that we're talking about, there's different markers that you're going to have to rank them in. For record, record and clutch is going to be the first area that I don't give a crap if somebody's got 16,000 yards and they don't go to the playoffs. Josh Allen's 4-1. And you can say, yeah, but it's all because of the defense. But no, it's not all because of the defense. Josh Allen has stepped up and been clutch when Josh Allen has needed to be clutch. So that's one of those places. You know, if I'm taking who do I need, it's the fourth quarter. We're down by 6 points and I need a touchdown. Who am I taking? Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen. Right now I'm taking Josh Allen. And I think every Buffalo Bills fan that can hear me is going to as well. However, as it pertains to playing a complete game, putting in four solid quarters as a quarterback, not taking your foot off of the throat of your opponent, I'm not sure that I'm putting Josh Allen there yet. There's lulls and there's pockets in our game, and I don't know what they are. Clearly, the long ball is something that's still missing from his game right now. I don't know why. We hit some last year. I made a statement last week that I think that this week that we're in right now, they are going to be focusing heavily, heavily on the long ball. And I think that they're going to display, or they're going to try to put some of that on display against the Miami Dolphins, and then they're going to come back to it against the Eagles, because the Eagles right now are widely known as a team that cannot defend the long pass. But I don't know that I'm ready to accurately rank these four quarterbacks. But if I had to, if somebody had to put a knife to my throat, I think right now, from what I've seen from play, I'm probably going to put Lamar first. I'm going to put Josh second, just from what I've seen. And this week, I could be on a completely different apex after this week. And then I'm probably going with Sam Darnold and then Baker's last, which is an interesting way. But I'll be honest with you, if I had Lamar and Josh are close for me. And so don't be angry with me. And if you want to tweet at me, you can. I can take it. This is just literally coming off of what I've seen from Josh's last couple games and then what I've seen from Lamar the last couple weeks. But yeah, it's really, really tight. I'm really, really excited. But as it pertains to ceiling, I think Josh has the greatest ceiling out of all of them. It's funny because Forbes had an article out this past week. It might have been yesterday, where they talk about Josh Allen may never be a great quarterback, but he's going to be a good quarterback and he might be good enough. And it's just like, are these people still not watching? Are they still not seeing what we're seeing? Because I think as it pertains to ceilings and opportunities, Josh has the greatest win, or greatest potential, I should say, not greatest win. I'm sorry. So yeah, for the difference for me in these four quarterbacks right now, and the difference for me, and it literally goes across all of Buffalo Bills football as it pertains to this offense. There's just a piece of confidence that's missing. Right now, this offense shows flashes and it shows moments. But I think we would all agree that we need to see them dictate to the defense. And they're going to have a great opportunity to do it this week against the Miami Dolphins, who 15 minutes after the Dolphins step off the bus are going to be wanting to step back on the bus. And it's not because the Bills, this team, they're just not a very good football team. So this week will tell us a lot about our Buffalo Bills and about Josh Allen and about our offense. And I'm really, really excited because I think that if this offense can find itself, this Buffalo Bills offense can find itself, and they can become consistent and confident, and Josh Allen can take that next step. And this is where the four of these quarterbacks are different, because we're going to be talking about that next step with Josh Allen probably for about the rest of this year and then midway through next year. I think this isn't going to be a Josh Allen has already arrived, bang, he's there, he's all of a sudden the guy. Josh is going to keep making mistakes, and I'm here for it. I said that in my last podcast. Make mistakes, Josh. You got the defense. Lean on him. I hope he goes out there and throws the ball over the yard this week. I don't care if we don't run the ball once. And I know that says a lot, because at some point in that game, things are probably going to be going sideways, and I'm going to be screaming for them to run the football. But yeah, I'm really excited about this weekend, and I'm excited for Josh, and I want to see progress. I want to see something this weekend. I want to see four complete quarters from our quarterback. The last thing that I have for you is trades. I kind of teased a little bit that I was going to talk trades. I'm going to hit this really, really fast. So there are trade rumors out there, and there are guys out there that are potentially on the block. And the two that we know about are A.J. Green, or I should say that have been most talked about, are A.J. Green and Stephon Diggs. And then there was a surprise one that came up, today, after some tweets that were put out this morning, which is Keenan Allen, that it seems like Keenan Allen is not very happy. And this is the reality. The Bills could use help with a number one wide receiver. Do they need it? Is it something that, like, they can't win football games this year if they don't have a number one wide receiver? Is Josh Brown not working out? No. I think John Brown is doing well. Sorry about that. I think John Brown's playing well. I think Cole Beasley's playing well. I think there's great opportunity there with Dawson Knox. Who knows what we have when Tyler Kroft gets back, and hopefully he gets back in the lineup this week. I just think that there's potential. I think if the Buffalo Bills could find a true number one wide receiver, that it would just potentially put Josh, it would help him with that next step that he needs to take, and would help the offense with a confidence level that maybe we haven't seen yet. But as I said, this offense needs to find itself and build some confidence. And I think, as I just said, that a different number one wide receiver could potentially do that. So for me, which one of these guys could do that? You know, if we took Keenan Allen off of this list, because I think it might be too early to put him on this list. And there's been a lot of flip-flopping and going back and forth between who wants who. For me, this guy is A.J. Green. And I know that that's weird, because A.J. Green has a very, very large injury history as it pertains to in his career, but the dude, and he's older, but the dude is clutch. So for me, I'm not ready to outlay, you know, $80 million or whatever's left on Stephon Diggs' contract, $60 million for a kid to come in. And by the way, a kid that things haven't been going his way or the way that he wants it to go on his current team. So he's getting a little bit mouthy, and he's a little bit uneasy, and he's a little upset. For me, A.J. Green is a smart, mature player who is clutch, who's a number one wide receiver that could change the face of the offense for this team. And oh, by the way, he's somebody that we could potentially rent to just kind of dip our foot in the pool to find out what we could potentially have with the rest of this offense. And I know that sounds strange, but if there's a safe bet that could have huge benefits and pay off big for me, it's A.J. Green. And that's just kind of where I'm at. So this next weekend, the things that we need to be looking for, the things that I want to be overreacting to on Sunday, the deep ball. Clearly, I want to see the deep ball. I want to see us four quarters of pressure on their defense. I want to see our offense take the next step. I want to see them just become who it is. So there's these flashes of offense that we've seen, but I don't know that the offense currently has an identity. I want to see them develop and create an identity this weekend. And man, I'm just going to tell you, and I hate to put the cart before the horse, but 5-1 feels so good, and we're not even there yet. So I might be overreacting there too, just in the thought and that I've got this one in the win column already. But it is the Dolphins, but anything can happen on Sunday, and that's why we lace them up, and that's why we suit up, and that's why they play. So with that, I've gone a little bit long, a little bit over 30 minutes. I'd like to keep these inside of 30 minutes, so I apologize if I kept you guys a little bit long. I will be back on Friday with things that I'm done reacting, the things that I'm overreacting to, and we'll take a look ahead at the weekend. But yeah, I hope you guys have a great week. I hope this holiday found you guys well. And I hope that you enjoyed week 6 of the NFL. We'll talk to you guys soon again. This is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. That handle again is at Joe Miller Wired. And if you're enjoying what you hear, please stick with me. I promise you the content will continue to get better. It probably wasn't the best idea to start a podcast on the Bills bye week, but that's when it all kind of came together for me. So it just is what it is. But you guys are awesome. I appreciate all the chatter on Twitter. I appreciate the conversations. You guys have a wonderful week. We will talk to you guys later. Joe Miller out.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.
I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go!
With ERLEADA, apalutamide, being there is possible. ERLEADA is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. ERLEADA may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. ERLEADA can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if ERLEADA is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit ERLEADA.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Some things are college freshman essentials, like shower sandals, because otherwise, yuck. And of course, a Brita pitcher. Your teen could save over $240 a year by switching to Brita from bottled water. Plus, Brita Elite removes 99% of lead from tap water. Get your freshman a Brita pitcher with the Elite filter today. 99% of lead certified by WQA. Substances reduced may not be in all users' water. $240 savings a year versus standard 16.9 fluid ounce water bottles. Savings assumes pre-purchase of Brita system.
Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me. Like hitting up all my friends for a last-minute study sesh. Or curating the best pop playlists you've ever heard in your life. And even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T. Period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.